From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
If you want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank
Woo!
You.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
Spectrum 360. Remind me to kill you later.
From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand, streaming, stitching.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 31st of August, 2015.
You have an incoming transmission.
The revolution will not be televised.
The voice of news information has
the purpose of this program is to bring vital news.
Welcome. I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
You imbecile! You bloated idiot!
He is the most interesting man in the world.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
And hello to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I am associate producer and co-host Terry Weeks.
I am sure. Totally.
If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong.
And good evening, Florida. This is Rebecca Marisol, and a special shout-out to my people at the Venture Compound. What a great show this weekend, and to Lauren Lance of Lilith. Thank you for listening tonight. Love you guys.
What's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc?
Spectrum 360 is copyright 2015 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged. Please do it.
Yay, no pirates.
On Spectrum 360 in this edition for Monday, the 31st of August, 2015. Focus of this program is politics and in music, as it often is on Spectrum 360. Segment 1, live in studio, Spectrum 360 remembrance of Dr. Wayne Dyer and Dr. Oliver Sacks, who died recently. Also an update on the murder case of the murder of local activist Paula Whithouse. We have the latest information from the St. Petersburg Police Department. Terry Weeks will lead this segment. And then segment 2,
live in studio, a Spectrum 360 environment segment regarding the development of three hurricanes in the Pacific Ocean at the same time for the first time ever. Also, Spectrum 360 marks the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina that devastated New Orleans, Louisiana, and other cities and states along the Gulf of Mexico coast. The 10th anniversary of that event was yesterday. And Spectrum 360 will play the song Blue Tarp Blues by Sonny Landreth to remember Hurricane Katrina, the people who died in that hurricane, and the tremendous failure of the George W. Bush administration to respond competently to the storm and the devastation that followed. Blue Tarp Blues, that's a great song. Going to listen to the lyric closely on that. It's going to address those subjects exactly. Then segment three, recorded the Jim Hightower commentary for this program about big money and politics. Very topical. Listen to that.
Here are about 600 people who are snuffing out our right to be self-governing. Today on Hightower Radio.
That's Jim Hightower for this week. Segment four, live in studio and recorded a Spectrum 360 concert review. Spectrum 360 will review the recent Ricky Lee Jones concert and play the new Ricky Lee Jones song, Infinity. And that's a new song. She was surprisingly good in concert. We'll talk a lot more about that in that segment. And then segment five, recorded a talk by Pinellas County Commissioner Janet Long. This is from Thursday, the 11th of June, 2015, to the Greater Pinellas Democratic Club on her trip to the nation of Cuba and her experiences there. Listen to what she has to say. Spectrum 360 was able to ask Commissioner Long multiple pertinent questions in the question and answer session. This is a Spectrum 360 exclusive. Cuba's again been in the news recently with the preparations by both countries to open embassies again. Interesting. This is part three of Commissioner Long's speech, and the speech will continue next week, Spectrum 360. We hope to possibly wrap this speech up next week. And this part will address discussions that led to some interesting conversation with Cuban government officials and American officials. And here's a brief tease of the Janet Long segment.
But the gentleman came to talk to us, and it was a very interesting dialogue because he spent quite a bit of time telling us all about their form of government, why they thought it was so important to lift the embargo. He shared with us some of the effects of the embargo on the Cuban government and the Cuban people.
Then on next week's Spectrum 360, we'll try again to get to our coverage of the Robert Groden book, JFK Absolute Proof. That's been delayed a couple of times. And then the final segment of the Janet Long speech, of course. And much more is coming in the next few Spectrum 360 programs. We are taking Spectrum 360 to the next level, people. We're going to have more hard-hitting segments, tougher talk, better interview subjects and interview guests. And it's just going to get better and better over the next few weeks. Also, this week, on Wednesday, 2 September 2015, is the second anniversary of the start of Spectrum 360.
Woohoo!
Yay.
Come on, Steph. Hey, ring the bell,
too. The bell's not here.
The bell's not there. Oh, my gosh. Okay, there it is. Okay.
Yay.
Saved by the bell. Should I say that? Oh, my gosh. I'll have to edit that out. Yes, so the two-year anniversary of Spectrum 360, we're hoping to have some type of impromptu celebration later this week or maybe next week, possibly, to celebrate the two-year anniversary. So we'll have more information online on that. Monitor the Spectrum 360 radio program website on Facebook, and you'll see more information about that in the next few days. So that's where we're at with this program. Now, remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program, and also remember the Spectrum 360 podcast. Go to internetradiopros.com, scroll down to the Spectrum 360 link, click on it, and choose the program date of your choice. Listen to Spectrum 360.
If you'd like Jim Hightower's real populism, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter gives you the real lowdown on which corporations, by name, are doing what to the middle class, our environment, and our democracy. Each month, the Hightower Lowdown brings you facts you didn't know, along with actions you can take to fight back. It also comes with a sense of humor, Hightower believes we can fight the gods and still have fun. Plus, get this, it's cheap. Only $15 brings you 12 issues a year. For real populism, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
And now, live in studio, segment one for this Spectrum 360 program for Monday, the 31st of August, 2015. A Spectrum 360 remembrance of Dr. Wayne Dyer and Dr. Oliver Sacks, who died recently, and also the update on the case of the murder of the local activist Paula Whithouse. Terry Weeks, associate producer and co-host of this program, will lead this segment. Terry?
Yesterday, we lost two men who were well-known and loved by many. The first was neurologist and author Dr. Oliver Sacks, who died of cancer at the age of 82. Dr. Sacks is best known for his 1985 collection of case histories, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat, and for his 1973 book Awakenings, which documented his remarkable experiment using the drug levodopa to reactivate patients who'd been frozen motionless for decades by encephalitis. That book was a basis for a 1990 movie with the same title, starring the late Robin Williams as a character based on Sacks. Most neuroscientists view patients as statistical variants on a common theme. They focus on neurotransmitters and pharmacology. But Sacks brought out the unique, the idiosyncratic, in each of his patients. He looked at them as people. His writing excelled at bringing each individual patient to life and vividly conveying to his readers what each person experienced. His curiosity, enthusiasm, and compassion shone through every work. His friend and colleague Christoph Koch stated that Sacks retained a childlike wonder about the world and all of its inhabitants, whether ferns, squirrel monkeys, or people. And, said Koch, he never lost the sense of the sheer miracle of existence. I have to say, I'm a huge Oliver Sacks fan. I've read all of his books. On my list of people that I wanted to meet and converse with, he was near the top. If you haven't read some of his works, please do it. You're in for a treat. They're not just case studies. They're vivid stories that really rise to the level of a literary art. In his February op-ed in the New York Times about facing death, Sacks once again conveyed his passionate appreciation for the uniqueness of individuals. When people die, he said, they cannot be replaced. They leave holes that cannot be filled, for it is the fate, the genetic and neural fate of every human being to be a unique individual, to find his own path, to live his own life, to die his own death. Certainly, Dr. Oliver Sacks cannot be replaced. Dr. Wayne Dyer also died yesterday at the age of 75. Dr. Dyer reportedly was suffering from chronic lymphocytic leukemia, but his death yesterday was unexpected. In fact, he was scheduled to visit Orlando on September 18th. Dr. Dyer was a writer, philosopher, and motivational speaker who initially came to fame in 1976 when he published the book Erroneous Zones. That's not erogenous zones, that's erroneous zones. Step-by-step advice for escaping the trap of negative thinking and taking control of your life. It became one of the best-selling books in U.S. history. He continued to espouse his philosophy throughout the more than 30 self-help books he wrote, including The Power of Intention and Stop the Excuses, How to Change Lifelong Thoughts. His books generally centered around the notion that one has to think positive, happy beliefs in order to live a positive, happy life. And his works encourage millions of people to look at their life in a new way. His family on his Facebook page posted that Wayne has left his body, passing away through the night. He always said he couldn't wait for this next adventure to begin and had no fear of dying. Our hearts are broken, but we smile to think of how much our scurvy elephant will enjoy the other side. We love you forever. Tributes have poured forth from fans, including celebrities such as Oprah and Ellen DeGeneres, who noted that Dr. Dyer presided at her wedding. Best wishes and safe travels, Dr. Dyer, on your latest adventure.
You can't just wish and hope for something to come true. You have to make it happen.
Okay, I also want to update people about a local matter. In January 2014, Paula Whithouse and her roommate were murdered in their St. Petersburg home. Police did not disclose the details of the crime, only saying that it was particularly brutal. Paula was a well-known and well-loved local activist. She was involved in numerous organizations, including Awake Pinellas, Florida Chain, and the League of Women Voters. She was a particularly passionate advocate for Medicaid expansion and improved access to health care, making several trips to Tallahassee to lobby the legislature on these issues.
Yeah.
Too bad they didn't listen. Paula was so highly regarded in this community that after her death, a spontaneous candlelight vigil was held in front of her home. Among those in attendance were several St. Pete City Council members and a Florida State legislator.
And I was there, and so was associate producer and co-host Terry
Weeks.
Yes,
we both were there. Paula was a friend. Paula's murder is still unsolved. At the August meeting of the Greater Pinellas Democratic Club, St. Pete Police Chief Anthony Holloway was the featured speaker. And in his talk, he mentioned that he had a particular interest in investigating and solving cold cases. His speech prompted two community members in attendance, myself and Karen Lieberman, to contact the chief's office about Paula's case. We then scheduled a meeting with the head of the cold case unit, Sergeant Tim Montanari. If you're wondering, yes, he is the brother of current city council candidate Ed Montanari. It's a small town. Basically, we really just wanted him to know a little bit more about Paula as a person, and also to let him know that the community still had a really strong interest in seeing this case solved. And of course, if we could, to discover if there are any new developments. Unfortunately, I don't have much to report on this last. We were pretty unsuccessful in this last endeavor. Sergeant Montanari could not disclose any details about the case, as that could compromise the investigation and any subsequent trial. But I think we were successful in our other two goals. We spent about a half an hour talking to the sergeant, telling him about Paula, what kind of person she was, the hardships she had overcome. He definitely seemed to appreciate that she was a special person in our community. He expressed his own horror that a citizen of St. Pete could be attacked and killed in her own home. He told us that he'd spoken to the chief about the case and was planning also to talk to the investigators that were working on the case. He also told us that if we had any information, even just a hunch or a memory of a remark that sounded strange, to let him know. We didn't, but perhaps some of our listeners do. If anyone has any information, any hunches, remember something that struck them as odd at the time, please contact the St. Pete Police Department. We still need justice for Paula.
And we're not talking about the Republican candidates for U.S. president when you're talking about strange comments, right? Correct?
No, we're talking to me. No, that would keep the police far too busy.
Just a joke. We're just kidding, people. Just kidding. Yes, so I suggest contacting the St. Petersburg Police Department. We need to keep the pressure on the police department to solve this case and find out what we can do ourselves, because this has been approximately a year and a half now, more than a year and a half, and this case is still not solved. This was a brutal murder of somebody that we knew and her housemate in their house, where they should have been safe by somebody we think who knew the victims or had their confidence if they didn't know that person well, or persons. So we need to make progress in this case. We need to get this solved. And Spectrum 360 will follow this case to its completion, no matter how long it takes. Okay? And what was that? What was your comment there, Rebecca Marisol?
What I wanted to do, one of the things that we started doing at Spectrum 360 is anytime somebody has passed away that we know, or if one of the trans women or somebody who's a peace fighter, we started a tradition of ringing our station's bell. And I would like to do that for all three of these people that have actually passed.
Terry, would you read their names, please?
Yes.
Or one of you, either
I
or.
I will do it. Dr. Oliver Sachs, Dr. Wayne Dyer, and Paula Whithouse.
And I'd like to play this brief tribute in honor of Wayne Dyer and Oliver Sachs. and in a non-gender appropriate way, Paula Whitehouse as well. And now, segment two, the Spectrum 360 Environment segment regarding the development of three, count them, three hurricanes in the Pacific Ocean at the same time for the first time. Also, Spectrum 360 marks the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina that devastated New Orleans, Louisiana, and other cities and states along the Gulf of Mexico coast. Co-host and associate producer Terry Weeks will also lead this segment. Terry?
Well, last Saturday night and into Sunday morning, we had an unprecedented meteorologic event. There were actually three Category 4 hurricanes ongoing in the Pacific Ocean. Hurricane Kilo was located southwest of the Hawaiian Islands, followed by Hurricane Ignacio to the west of Hawaii, and then Hurricane Ximena in the eastern Pacific. Kilo was the last of these three to reach Category 4 status, doing so on Saturday evening. Now, hurricanes with maximum sustained winds of 130 to 156 miles per hour are classified as Category 4. It's the second highest category on the Saffir-Simpson hurricane wind scale. By 5 p.m. Sunday evening, both Kilo and Ignacio began to weaken and were then classified as Category 3s, but Ximena retained her Category 4 status.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of hurricanes. And this is on top...
And strong hurricanes as well.
Very, very strong hurricanes. And this is on top of what's already been a record hurricane season in the Central Pacific Basin. They have had some serious storms.
And also, last year, I believe, was the biggest hurricane on record, and that was in the southern Pacific Ocean, if I remember right.
That's correct. That's correct. NOAA is attributing a lot of this. He's attributing this active hurricane season and a lot of the strong storms they've seen in the Pacific to a stronger than usual El Nino. And El Nino is a periodic warming of the central and eastern equatorial Pacific Ocean. Generally, when El Nino occurs, the Pacific region will see an increase in named storms because of a moderate, because of a diminished wind shear in that area. So El Nino marks stronger storms because of less shear in the Pacific. Here in Florida, we have the opposite. Wind shear tends to increase in the Atlantic during moderate to strong El Ninos, particularly in the Caribbean. So we see less storms. Scientists are predicting another extremely strong El Nino this year. So, unfortunately, the Pacific can probably expect continued severe storms. Does this mean that ocean temperatures are in general on the rise? Is this related to climate change?
Yeah.
I don't know, because here in Florida, our governor doesn't let us talk about stuff like that.
Really?
That's right.
Well, that's rather appalling. We can't talk about it in the government.
Well, government employees have actually been disciplined and lost jobs for talking about climate change.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, come on. We still have snow at winter.
Yeah, but that's not a proof that climate change is not happening, as we covered on this very program last week. Rachel Maddow stated that people think that climate change can be easily disproven because it still snows in the winter. but pay no attention to the Armageddon lurking in the data. That's almost a direct quote.
That was a great statement by her. And actually, there is a difference between climate and weather. Just because it's really cold where you are does not mean climate is not changing.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so I totally agree with that. So that's why we cover that topic on this program, because people need to know that climate change is real, that it's statistically accurate, that the vast majority of scientists all agree that it is happening. And yes, there are other causes of global warming or cooling. Number one is the 24-hour rotation cycle of the Earth. Of course, that warms and cools the atmosphere every day, depending on what part of the Earth is in, sun or shadow. And also, we have a approximately monthly cycle, the cycles of the moon. And we have an annual cycle, which causes the seasons on Earth. And we also have an 11-year solar cycle. And then we have other climate cycles on Earth that are superimposed on all those other cycles. So yes, human caused warming of the atmosphere due to greenhouse gases, is that the only cause? No. But does that mean that climate change is not happening just because there's other causes? No, it is happening.
And the fact of the matter is there is an unprecedented, humans have released an unprecedented amount of CO2 and also methane into the environment.
Yeah,
that's for sure. So, Terry, you've done a great job on wrapping this up and encapsulating what is happening currently. And also, we want to remember the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina that devastated New Orleans, Louisiana, and other cities and states along the Gulf of Mexico coast. That anniversary was yesterday. And Spectrum 360 will now play the song Blue Tarp Blues by Sonny Landreth to remember Hurricane Katrina, the people who died in that hurricane, and the tremendous failure of the George W. Bush administration to respond competently to the storm and the devastation that followed. Now, this is a great song. Sonny Landreth is a great vocalist and a great slide guitar player. He has been here in Tampa at the WNF Tropical Heat Wave. I believe it was about 6 or 7 years ago. When he played here last, I was there at the concert and saw it and also video recorded it. I was right at his feet at the front of the stage when he played this song. Very topical. Listen to the lyric. The lyric is very important. And this man is an excellent guitarist. It's just great fun to hear this song and remember these people and that event.
One had a heck of a view. Air Force One had a heck of a view. Looking down on the patchwork of the blue tarp blues. I went walking through the water, sprung a leak in my shoe. I went walking through the water, sprung a leak in my shoe. Well, that hole in my soul, give me the blue tarp blues. I got the blues. I got the blues, blue tarp blues.
sidewalk hotter than a match head. But tonight it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer. In the city, in the summer, in the city.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
And now segment three for this edition of Spectrum 360. This is the Jim Hightower commentary for this program about money, big money, and politics. Enjoy.
Your standard governor, Congress critter, and other elected officials routinely insist that they represent the people. But when it comes to making public policy, do they actually represent you or Mr. Money, who writes big campaign checks? Right. Any pretension that we live in a self-governing democratic republic is gone. It's been snuffed out by a tiny club of big money donors, only about 600 people out of our population of 330 million. They've empowered themselves to choose candidates, control the public debate, and bend public policy to their selfish interests. Both major political parties are complicit in this kleptocratic transformation. Republicans by aggressively pushing it, and Democrats by passively acquiescing to it. While Barack Obama has done nothing to stop this money perversion of democracy, he's at least made noise about making the thieves disclose their theft. But noise is not action, and the GOP's enablers of the thievery have even moved to kill Obama's modest disclosure ideas. In June, for example, House Republicans quietly voted to prohibit the SEC, the shareholders' watchdog, from requiring CEOs to tell the corporate owners how much of their money is being spent on particular political candidates. Another GOP backroom proviso would keep the IRS from disclosing the names of corporate tax law manipulators that use so-called social welfare groups to funnel money anonymously into partisan political campaigns. Also, a third Republican hide-and-seek provision would allow corporations that get billions of dollars in taxpayer funds to avoid telling us the names of lawmakers they're showering with campaign cash. This is Jim Hightower saying, the torrent of secret corporate money in our elections is hosing our democratic ideals and possibilities, blasting the people out of the process, and imposing big money governance over America.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
I'd like to tell my Spectrum 360 listeners about my friends at Ocean 6. Ocean 6 is a company that provides a variety of high-quality packaged seafood, chicken, pork, and beef products, frozen, and delivered directly to the front door of your residence. It doesn't get any easier than that. The food is great, the service is excellent, and I am a customer of Ocean 6 myself. Lately, I've been enjoying using their seafood products, especially my favorites, the jumbo shrimp and the shrimp scampi. Good. To get yours, you can call the same man who provides Ocean 6 products for my family. His name is Mark, like myself, and you can call him at 727-623-8015. That's 727-623-8015. The Ocean 6 website is ocean6.net. Again, that's ocean6.net. Get it? .net. Like the net where that wonderful Ocean 6 seafood comes from. Call or click today and get yours.
Burbank, California. People often ask us why we chose to locate our Warner Brothers record company here in Burbank instead of in Hollywood or New York like other record companies. Well, we like to tell them about the friendly folk around these parts and our distinctive climate. Then we remind them about the plastic and the fact that we happen to be situated right over the world's largest and richest deposit of pure vinyl. We take this naturally perfect vinyl from the earth because no other vinyl is so ideally suited to the record manufacturing process. Warner Brothers records just have to sound better. So next time you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We'll be glad to show you things like Scully lathes, Acme degaussers, and Pedis rectifiers. But most important, you'll have an opportunity to sample our world-famous vinyl. Next time your ears are thirsty, remember, Warner Brothers Records. It's the plastic.
Okay, I must admit, that last commercial that we played was from 1970.
Never would have guessed.
Something's very story going on in the studio.
And that was a Warner Brothers record commercial that I've had a recording of since 1971, and I just played it for the humor of it, just as a joke. That's an old, old commercial from Warner Brothers Records. That is not a current commercial. And that was from the archives, just for your listening enjoyment. We stopped and had a little fun. Yes, we did. Okay, on to the next segment. And that's segment four for this program, Spectrum 360, for 31 August 2015, a Monday, of course. Spectrum 360 is on every Monday, Eastern Time at 11 p.m. to 12 a.m., 1 hour. And this segment is live in studio and recorded, a Spectrum 360 concert review. Spectrum 360 the staff, myself, and co-host and associate producer Terry Weeks attended the recent Ricky Lee Jones concert. It was on Wednesday, the 19th of August, 2015, last week, or actually the week before, excuse me. And it was at the Capitol Theater in beautiful downtown Clearwater, the wonderfully remodeled Capitol Theater, which is now just a beautiful, beautiful theater. And Chelsea, Rebecca Marisol, my commentator on Spectrum 360, I recall a few years ago when you and I were in the same band, and we actually rehearsed at the Capitol Theater.
Yes, we did. We actually had a chance to play in front of 400 people there. The owner at the time actually had us as the Fusion Cycle Orchestra.
And what was the real name of the band?
Fusion Circle.
Yeah.
Our guitar player, who's now with another band called Green Sunshine, he was so nervous. He played behind the Christmas tree. We lost our drummer the night before, so we had to hire a drummer. You played piano, grand piano.
He was usually the bass player, right?
And he played a part of a song that he wrote. It was amazing. And the owner wanted us to play dancing music after he actually liked what we did. And it was a very interesting evening of experimental and native-based rock and roll.
Yeah, that was strange. And then you left your drum set there, and eventually over the years, it was all stolen out of the facility, correct?
Yes. I actually was, they needed to borrow a drum kit at one time because Peter Best was coming to town.
Yes, the former Beatle, Pete Best.
Needed to borrow my drum kit. And so I let him borrow it, and I've never seen it again. So I guess no matter how famous you get, rock bands always borrow each other's stuff, and then they just forget who they borrowed it from. So who knows? Maybe my drum kit is back in Liverpool right now.
Maybe so. So that's some local history regarding the Capitol Theater and our involvement with it. This was back in, when was this? 2005, 2006, 2007? No, actually earlier than that, wasn't it? Yeah, it was early 2000s.
Yes. Early 2000s.
Yeah, 2001, 2002, 2003.
Yes.
In there, yes. We had a great time while we had the run of the Capitol Theater before it was renovated and turned into a very nice theater, booked consistently again.
But the cool thing is we can always say we played on the same stage as the Beatles, and I do believe Elvis, and all these other rock bands. We played in the same arena as all these guys did at one time.
And I believe the Rolling Stones as well.
And the Rolling Stones, who actually incidentally wrote the song I Can Get No Satisfaction, because they were actually staying at the Fort Harrison Hotel, and they had bad room service.
Were the Scientologists
time.
There then?
No, not yet.
That is the story.
That is the story. And they had a hard time in that building, incidentally, the old building, getting a good sound check. And that was the reason why they actually wrote I Cannot Get No Satisfaction, which is really, really interesting.
Yes, and we've seen a lot of concerts there since. It's been a great renovated venue. I really enjoy going there. I've seen so much music there already. I've seen Ricky Lee Jones. I've seen Richard Thompson. I saw Randy Newman there.
I have one for you. Actually, John Nicol and I, we went to an event when I was just coming out of the closet to people, and it was a Phantom of the Opera done in black and white silent film with an organ player, and it was the first time you ever saw me dressed as me, and you're at the house playing a song, and you were like, wow. I'm like, hi, Mark, this is actually how I am. So we've known each other for a long time, and there's been amazing acts happening at that theater.
Yes, absolutely. I've seen so much good music there. I also saw Graham Nash there. I wish I had seen David Crosby there.
We saw Arlo Guthrie on the 50th anniversary of the song Alice's Restaurant. He played the song for that occasion, and he doesn't play it often. He said he'd play it in another 10 years if he was still alive.
He played the entire album version of Alice's Restaurant, and we witnessed that there, the 50th anniversary. That was great, too. Bruce Coburn and so many other artists as well. Now, this segment is focused on the Ricky Lee Jones concert. When I saw Ricky Lee Jones was coming and we got tickets to attend the concert to do this review, I thought she was maybe just basically a nostalgia act and would be just playing her old hits and then, other songs as well to make a full concert. But her tour on this concert tour and that concert was far more than just a greatest hits reprise, just playing the greatest hits. She's actually a very progressive artist. She was surprisingly good, and she has progressed a lot and kept progressing as an artist and still is a great a concert performer. She had a great band with her. It was a 6-member band. They were from Montreal, and they were excellent. They were just crack. They had a drummer who was very versatile, played a lot of great drum beats and a lot of other things as well, percussion instruments. Also, the bass player played bass guitar and bass violin, and not only just plucked bass violin, but bowed bass violin as well, as was required for the song. Very versatile bass player, a violinist who also played percussion, and then a very versatile keyboardist and guitarist who both played acoustic and electric versions of their instruments, and she was backed up very well. And Ricky Lee Jones played great. She really played
great.
She's
a very unusual artist.
Yes, and she was excellent, and we really enjoyed it. Played several songs, and it was just an excellent concert. Now, this song that we're going to play for you now, an excerpt of this, this is the song Infinity. It's off her latest album, which you can get on iTunes. And also, this song she wrote after she had a dream. So it's a song about a dream, and it's a great, interesting song. And I want you to hear an excerpt of it now. This gives you a sample of what Ricky Lee Jones's current songwriting is like. It's a great song. Enjoy.
go wrong. I always do go wrong.
And that's Ricky Lee Jones and her song Infinity, written after she had a dream. Interesting song, interesting concert. I recommend her in concert. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would, and she was very cool. Back with the final segment, the Spectrum 360 for this program, right after this.
I can remember a time when I was so afraid, when even a shadow wouldn't follow me.
And here's the Jenna Long speech, part three. This is a Spectrum 360 exclusive, people. We have a lot of exclusives on this program. Listen to Spectrum 360 for this type of coverage of the Tampa Bay area. Enjoy.
There was no way they were going to let us get in on that. But the gentleman came to talk to us, and it was a very interesting dialogue because he spent quite a bit of time telling us all about their form of government, why they thought it was so important to lift the embargo. He shared with us some of the effects of the embargo on the Cuban government and the Cuban people. And then he opened it up for questions. And the question that I had was, how far is your government going to be willing to go to move beyond the issues of human rights that our government says is so standing in the way of moving forward with regard to lifting the embargo? And he said to me, why does the United States think that they have the right to come here and tell us how to run our government? We think that we have a government that is representative of the people. Now, that's not anything that you hear when you read our news about what's going on there. And one of the things, I'm going to flip back to the luncheon that I had with the ambassador, because one of the things that I asked him was, if it's true that the Cuban government had lifted some of the restrictions on travel for the Cuban people, then why do we still hear about all of your citizens who are clamoring to get on lifeboats and rubber rafts to cross the Florida Straits and come to Miami? You may know about the wet foot, dry foot policy, which says if a native of Cuba puts one foot on American soil, they automatically receive benefits from our Social Security fund that allows them to get, I want to say, $300-$400 a month for a couple of years. And that is enough for them to start up a new life here, and that's why they come. But according to the ambassador, the people that are coming are not the creme de la creme of the Cuban society. They're people who have, in their country, been convicted of some kind of a crime, or they've been let out of prison, or they're misfits in their society, and they don't really want them. I don't know if that's true. I'm just telling you the story of what I heard. So fast forward, I want to share with you that someone asked me here this evening, I think it was Mike, what was the most interesting thing that you saw when you got there? The thing that surprised me the most was the state of their infrastructure in the city. It was frightening. So you think about, this is an island that for all intents and purposes has been isolated for over 50 years. They've not had the ability to trade. The fact that the United States has an embargo on them has prohibited the World Bank from extending credit to the government. And so they're not able to trade freely with other countries around the world. And they use the example that if they want powdered milk, for instance, for their babies and their children, they have to trade with Australia in order to get that. So I know I've rambled on a bit. We had a very interesting and fabulous experience. The Cuban people were wonderful. They were welcoming to us, and they were excited about the opportunity to begin to dialogue with the United States. One of the things that really tickled me as we walked around the old section of Havana was that we came upon this big, huge square. It reminded me a little bit of Jackson Square in New Orleans, for those of you who might have ever been there. It was a beautiful park surrounded by a lot of local artists selling their wares and lots of activity from the locals and just kind of like an outdoor art festival. And so the thing that surprised me about that was we found out the people in Cuba, their average annual monthly income, I don't know, what do you think that might be? Anybody want to take a guess?
$23.
How much?
$23.
How much?
$23, he says.
It's $20 a month is what they receive monthly for an income. And it doesn't matter if they're on the lower end of the socioeconomic scale or if they're a professional physician. Their salary is $20 a month. You may be interested to know that the Cuban government provides housing for all of their citizens. The Cuban government provides their education from elementary school through high school through the university. All their health care is provided for the government. But for the first time over the last couple of years, the Cuban government has begun to allow the local people to open their own businesses.
And there
businesses.
You have it. That is
so
the speech by Janet Long, Pinellas County Commissioner, on the subject of Cuba. That's part three. And we're going to wrap up that speech, I hope, next weekend on next week's Spectrum 360. To find out what happened during the question and answer session. And we're coming to the end of this program for Monday, the 31st of August, 2015, the last program before the two-year anniversary on Wednesday of Spectrum 360 starting here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Terry and Chelsea, your final comments for this program.
Well,
30 seconds.
Maybe all those people who fall into the Medicaid coverage gap here in Florida can go to Cuba and get some health care.
Oh!
Ow! Thank you, listeners. We love you. We couldn't have done it without you for these last 2 years. Love each other. Be kind.
Well, thank you very much. And remember, on next week's Spectrum 360, we're going to try to get back to our coverage of the Robert Groden book, JFK Absolute Proof, very important book, and the final segment of Dan Long's speech, and a lot of other things as well as usual. Listen to Spectrum 360!
Woohoo!
Yay!
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.